What a blessing it is to be able to be with you today. It's great to see you. Hope everybody's had a great start to their week. Yesterday, our nation celebrated something remarkable. That's already been said a time or two this morning. For 250 years, the United States of America has enjoyed a freedom that billions of people throughout history, they've only dreamed about this. We are blessed to live in a nation where we can gather in this building without the fear of government interference. We can open our Bibles. We can sing praises to God without persecution. And we can proudly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, those freedoms should never be taken for granted. And I'm personally thankful for every man and every woman who has served and is serving this country. I'm thankful for all those who sacrificed so that generations after them could enjoy the liberties we enjoy today. Normally, on a day like today, I would wear red, white, and blue. I didn't wear that today, not because I'm not proud of this country. Today I decided to wear green. The reason I chose a green tie today is because while I've been thinking about Independence Day this week, quite frankly, there's been something else that's consumed my thoughts. You see, while our country celebrates freedom, there's still a lot of people living in bondage. But these aren't the kind of chains that you can see. These are what I'm calling hidden chains. Sunday evening was a very happy occasion. I stood on a beach at Dolphin Island and married a couple whom I'm very proud of. After that was a reception where there was a celebration. Good food, good family, good friends. While I was getting ready to depart and head back to Mobile, Alabama, I received a message that someone that I have known my entire life, from a little child at Fairview, took his own life. As heavy as that was and is, I get to my office on Monday morning. Really, I'm not even in the office. I'm still in the car. I receive a message that some of our family here at Azalea City had a family member who took his life. Just really heavy. And so as I came in to prepare a lesson for today with the intention of talking about being free in Jesus Christ, and certainly that message is still going to be proclaimed, I was reminded, though, that suddenly we can and have been reminded that life changes in just a moment. One phone call. One knock at the door. One doctor's report. One tragic accident. And suddenly the fireworks don't seem nearly as bright as they have in the past. You see, the reason that is because grief has a way of changing our perspective. Chances are, some people walked into this building this morning carrying burdens that no one else can see. Some of you walked in today and you're grieving. Some of you walked in today and you're anxious. Some walked in today and you're utterly exhausted. Some walked in today and you're extremely discouraged. Some are quietly wondering if anyone would even notice if I just disappeared. Some are smiling while silently falling apart. And that's why I was inspired to preach this lesson today. Not because I have all the answers. Far from it. But it's because I know something about having hidden chains. Many of you know me well. I grew up in this congregation. My name is Terry Cagle. I've been happily married to a wonderful wife for 27 years. God has blessed the two of us with incredible children. I've been privileged to work and preach at this congregation, I believe the greatest on the planet, for 27 years. I have the greatest co-workers that anybody could ask for. Folks, I love this church. I love my family. As far as I know, I'm physically healthy. Most importantly, I've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I belong to the greatest institution that's ever existed. The church purchased by the blood of Christ. And you know what all that makes me do? It makes me smile. It makes me happy. But all of that, and I have major depressive disorder. Every day, I take 3 antidepressants. And even though I thank God for those doctors and those chemists, those pharmacies, and my medicine, there are days that are still incredibly difficult. There are mornings when I wake up and the weight feels heavier than I can even explain. There are days when there should be nothing wrong. But everything feels so heavy. Now, some of you know that. Some of you may be surprised to hear me say that. But could you imagine living that? See, one of the greatest lies Satan whispers is this: if you are struggling, you must be the only one. That's a lie. No, you're not. In fact, the Bible is filled with faithful people who struggle deeply. King David wrote in Psalm 38:4, think of King David, how much we love and appreciate him. Listen to what he writes in Psalm 38:4. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. I want you to notice something beautiful about that passage. David doesn't deny his pain, just like I do not deny the pain I have from time to time. But what he does is he speaks to it. That's what I'm trying to do today, is speak it to you. Jason, thank you for that song we just sang. I speak Jesus. No matter the anxiety, no matter the depression, no matter the hidden chain I carry, I speak Jesus. Elijah, one of the greatest prophets who ever lived, In fact, we just talked about him a couple weeks ago as I preached a sermon on Elijah. Just days after standing courageously on Mount Carmel, after watching God answer with fire from heaven, after defeating all the prophets of Baal, he sits under a broom tree and he prays to die. Listen to his words in 1 Kings 19:4. It is enough now, O Lord. One of the greatest prophets have ever lived now. It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. What about Job? Perhaps no human being has endured more suffering than Job. In Job 3:26, he says, I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes. One of the antidepressants I take is to help me sleep, because at one point in my life I developed insomnia. Job is saying right here, I have insomnia. Later he says in Job 10:1, I loathe my life. Not I love it, I loathe my life. David, Elijah, Job, and we're going to talk about Paul in just a minute, they aren't weak men. They aren't faithless men. These are some of the greatest servants of God in all of Scripture. The Apostle Paul confessed in 2 Corinthians 1:8, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so, don't miss this, utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Did you hear what he said? This is the Apostle Paul now. He said, we despaired. That literally means in the Greek, gave up hope of life itself. You know what all this reminds us of? Faithful people sometimes suffer emotionally. Strong Christians sometimes struggle mentally. Godly people sometimes battle depression and other mental health diseases. Perhaps one of the greatest comforts to me is realizing that David, Elijah, Job, Paul, and others, he never abandoned them. He stayed with David. He stayed with Elijah. He stayed with Job. He stayed with Paul. And if you are struggling with a hidden chain of bondage today, let me tell you something. He hasn't left you either. Today, yes, it's talking about freedom, because hidden chains come in many forms. All the chains may have different names. Maybe all the struggles we're going through, maybe there's something different. It's this, it's this, it's this, it's this. But let's not kid ourselves, they all imprison the soul. You know what Jesus did, though? He came to set the captives free. In John 8, Jesus, this is Tucker read this earlier, he's speaking to people who believed they were already free. Now think about that. He's talking to people who they believe they're already free. And they proudly declared this, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. They said, hey, we're already free. But they completely missed what Jesus was talking about. They were thinking politically. Jesus was speaking spiritually. Verses 31 and 32, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now the rest, they answered him, we are offspring of Abraham, never been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say you will become free? Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. He continues then with one of the greatest promises in Scripture. Don't miss this. So if the Son, Jesus, sets you free, you will be free indeed. freedom is much bigger than politics. Freedom is much bigger than geography. Freedom is much bigger than economics. You see, real freedom begins in Jesus Christ. So this morning, my goal is to remind us all how Christ brings freedom to those, even if we're living with hidden chains. But we need to understand some things about mental health. First of all, we need to understand no one is immune. There is no one-shot vaccination. One of the greatest mistakes we can make is believing that strong faith eliminates every emotional struggle. Sometimes we unintentionally create that impression in the church. We celebrate victory, and we should. We celebrate joy, and we should. We celebrate answers, prayers, and we should. But if we are not careful, someone sitting quietly in the pew may begin to think, if everyone else is smiling, if everyone else has it together, if everyone else is full of joy, what's wrong with me? Guess what? Spiritually, there may not be anything wrong with you. You may simply be hurting. You see, Satan lies. No faithful Christian feels like this. No elder should feel like this. No preacher should feel like this, much less talk about it. No mother, and I'm thankful for our postpartum mother group. No mother feels like this. No father feels like this. No teenager feels like this. Those are all lies. The Scripture tell a different story. If David struggled, if Elijah struggled, if Job struggled, if Paul struggled, then struggling is not proof that your faith has failed. Now let me be very careful, and you need to hear this. Not every discouragement is clinical depression. Not every season of grief becomes a disorder. Not every anxious thought means someone has an anxiety disorder. There is a difference between the normal emotions God created within us and conditions that sometimes require medical treatment. But we shouldn't minimize either of them. Because there are going to be seasons when every one of us grieves. Jesus wept. There are seasons when we all will become discouraged. There are seasons when fear is going to knock on the door of our hearts. There are people who are also fighting battles within their brains and hearts that they never chose. Just as some people need insulin because their pancreas aren't functioning properly, some people need medication because certain chemicals in the brain are not functioning properly. One illness ought not be more shameful than the other. I've heard well-meaning Christians say this: well, if you just prayed a little bit harder, if you just had a little more faith, if you just trusted God more. Church, can I say lovingly something about this? We would never tell a diabetic, well, if you just prayed harder, you wouldn't need insulin. We never tell somebody battling a sickness like pneumonia, if you just had a little bit more faith, you wouldn't even need these antibiotics. So why would we say that to someone battling a genuine mental illness? Can God heal? Absolutely. Can God sustain some through medicine, wise physicians, Christian counselors, and the support of the church? Absolutely. So let's never make someone feel guilty for responsibly seeking help. Let's never shame someone because they sat in a counselor's office. The first time I went to a counselor, I was so anxious, I became mad. Anxiety makes me mad. And so I sat there, knowing I had a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old child at home, and I had a wife who loved me unconditionally. Sat there in the office with her, and I said, I got so anxious, I got mad. I said, I'm not going in. She's like, why? I said, because I'm not crazy. I'm so thankful I went in. Never shame someone because they sat in a counselor's office. Never question someone's faith because they're taking medication under the guidance of a physician. I don't think that I am a weak person. In fact, physically, especially my age, especially in one category, I may be the strongest guy I know. Now that sounds arrogant, but I just need you to hear it. I don't think I'm a weak person. I don't think I'm a sissy. I think one of the strongest things a person can do is admit they need help. Galatians 6, that's pretty scriptural, right? Tells us to bear one another's burdens. Romans 12 teaches us to weep with those who weep. James tells us to confess to one another and pray for one another. Notice the pattern. Hidden chains lose their power when they're finally brought into the light. Secondly, this morning you need to know, one of Satan's greatest weapons is isolation. One of the greatest misconceptions about spiritual warfare, and we're in a spiritual war. But one of the greatest misconceptions is Satan is always going to attack loudly. Sometimes he does, right? It's very obvious when Satan's attacking. But more often than not, his greatest attacks are whispers. If people really knew you, they wouldn't understand. They think less of you. You're going to be judged. You're going to be a burden. Folks, Satan's been isolating people since the Garden of Eden. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They hid. And although depression's not sin, it often produces the very same response. What happens when we battle a mental health disorder such as depression? People hide. They withdraw. They stop answering phone calls and texts. They quit talking. They begin canceling plans. They sit in a room full of people, yet feel completely alone. See, one of the most heartbreaking realities about depression is that the illness itself convinces people to isolate themselves from the very people who can help them. God gave us emotions, but emotions are not infallible. Sometimes our emotions don't tell the truth. Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. You see, depression and other mental health struggles have a way of becoming a terrible preacher, if you will. Because those things preach lies every single day. Those things in your mental mind, in your thoughts, it tells a young mother, hey, you're nothing but a failure. It tells a father, you are not enough. It tells a teenager, nobody likes you. It tells an elderly widow, you are all but forgotten. It tells a minister, you're disappointing everyone. It tells an elder, you will never measure up. It tells a Christian that God somehow has stopped loving you. Those are all lies. But Satan will use the disorder in our brains to convince us those lies are true. Moses could have said, I'm nothing but a murderer. Peter could have said, I'm nothing but a coward. Thomas could have said, hey, I'm nothing but a doubter. Rahab could have said, hey, I'm just a prostitute. Paul could have said, you know, I can't do this. I persecuted Christians. But even in their worst moments, God refused to define them by their worst moments. And He refuses to define you by yours as well. The world labels people by their failures. God identifies people by His grace. The book of Ephesians teaches us that we are God's workmanship. Psalm 139 teaches us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Romans 8, that was read to us earlier, reminds us there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Listen, I want Azalea City to be known for many things. I want us to be known because we teach sound doctrine. I want us to be known because we have biblical preaching and teaching. I want us to be known because they are evangelistic. I want us to be known for our love for the Scripture. But I also want this congregation to be known as the safest place in Mobile for someone to walk in and say, hey, I'm not okay. Wouldn't that be beautiful? A place where no one has to pretend. A place where hurting people don't fear being judged. A place where people find grace instead of gossip. They find compassion instead of condemnation. They find prayer instead of shame. Because here's the truth. Every person sitting in the auditorium is or has carried something hidden in their life. Oh, some burdens are visible, but most of them are not. So it brings me to the question, how do we begin to break these hidden chains? See, the answer isn't found in pretending everything's okay. The answer begins with hope. And I want to give you this simple word that has helped me tremendously over the years. It's an acrostic. And it's going to spell out the word hope. But before we get into that, I want to be very careful before I begin this point. I'm not about to give you four easy steps that magically make depression and other mental health illnesses disappear. I also need you to know healing doesn't always happen overnight. Sometimes God does heal instantly. But sometimes He heals gradually. Sometimes He just sustains us while we continue to walk through the valley of hurt. There isn't a magic formula, but there is a faithful God. These four reminders have helped me, and I pray they're going to help someone else here today. Number one, we got to be honest. The H has to be honesty. Healing begins with being honest. One of the greatest tragedies in the church is that we've become experts at pretending. Someone asks you on Sunday morning, "How are you?" And without thinking, we answer, "I'm fine." The honest truth, sometimes we're not fine. Sometimes we're exhausted. Sometimes we're discouraged. Sometimes we're grieving. Sometimes we're hanging on by a thread, but we've convinced ourselves that Christians aren't supposed to admit that because it shows weakness. Find that in the Bible. Job never pretended. Read Job 7. Read Job 10. Read Job 30. Job poured his heart out in honesty before God. God would rather hear an honest cry than a dishonest prayer any day. Think about your children. Fathers, do children hide their tears from a loving father? No. Then why would we? Psalm 62 tells us to pour out our hearts before Him because He is our refuge. Honesty isn't weakness. Honesty is where healing begins. But then, as the O says, we have to be open. After honesty must become openness. You might say, "Hey, that's the same thing." No, there's a difference. You can be honest with yourselves and never tell another person. God never intended for us to fight our battles alone. Go back to Job. When his friends first arrived, I'm not talking about when they started speaking, when they first arrived, they didn't preach to Job. They didn't lecture Job. They simply came. They simply were present. Sometimes that's exactly what hurting people need. Christianity has always been meant to live in community. I believe with all my heart that God allowed me, I don't think God caused me, I think He allowed me to walk through this struggle to especially help men. Why? Because men, we've often been taught to suppress everything. Don't you cry, suck it up. You don't admit that, it shows you're weak. You don't need anyone. Handle this and handle it yourself. You gotta be tough. But along the way, we've confused all of that with silence. I believe in being a man. I believe this country wants men to not be men. But I believe God wants us to be men. But let me tell you something. It's very manly to admit when you're struggling. Jesus wasn't afraid. Jesus, a weak man? I don't think anybody's going to say that. You know what He did? He told Peter, James, and John, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful." Paul wasn't ashamed to tell the churches about all his struggles. We talked in my class this morning. He talked about the thorn in his flesh. David wasn't embarrassed. This man defeated a 9-foot giant with a rock and a slingshot and a sword to cut his head off. But he wasn't embarrassed to write songs about the tears that he was experiencing. So why should we? When we're open, help comes in all kinds of forms. Maybe that help comes from your spouse. Maybe it's a trusted Christian friend. Maybe it's one of the 7 shepherds now we have here. Maybe it's your minister. Maybe it's a mature sister in Christ or mature brother. Maybe it's a Christian counselor. Maybe it's your physician. Whomever it is, the most important thing is this. Don't fight hidden battles by yourself. Then thirdly, when it comes to the word hope, the P needs to represent we need to pursue purpose. We can be honest and we can be open, but if we sit on our tails and do nothing, we're not going to get better. See, one of the most difficult realities about depression is that it steals motivation. Things that you once loved, they don't seem enjoyable anymore. Simple tasks become overwhelming. Getting out of bed sometimes is difficult. Returning a text or a phone call seems impossible. But you need to understand something. That doesn't mean that you're a lazy person. Sometimes it just means you're hurting really bad. God has rarely asked us to climb the entire mountain in one day. He simply asks us to take the next faithful step. Think about a ladder. Think about standing here, and I had a ladder here, and what does ladders have? They have rungs. When someone climbs a ladder, they don't stand at the bottom of that ladder, look at the top rung, and say, "How am I going to jump up there?" If they do, quickly they're going to find themselves discouraged. And that discouragement of, "Hey, I can't go from the floor to that top rung by jumping. I can't do it, so guess what? I'm just not going to climb on the first rung either." That's the way it works. So if mental health chains and struggles are a ladder, you can't go from the bottom to the top in one step. You got to climb each rung. Some are trying to solve the next 10 years in one moment. God is just asking you, trust me today. You see, you can't worry about tomorrow's ladder. You got to climb today's rung. Maybe today's rung is getting out of bed. Maybe today's rung is coming to worship. Maybe today's rung is making the doctor's appointment you've been putting off. Maybe today's rung is finally calling a counselor. Maybe today's rung is answering the phone. Maybe today's rung is reading one chapter of Scripture. Maybe today's rung is praying one honest and open prayer. Don't underestimate small acts of faithfulness as long as they're moving you forward. God does His greatest work often through ordinary obedience. Use every avenue. God has graciously provided you. Use every one of them. But through it all, no matter what, keep your eyes on Him. Because no counselor replaces Jesus Christ. No medication replaces Jesus Christ. No physician replaces Jesus Christ. Now all those things are instruments in His hands, but Jesus remains the great physician. So you got to be honest. You got to be open. You got to pursue production, purpose. But then finally, you got to rest in the E and be eternally minded. One of the hardest questions we ask is why. There are a lot of people today that I know and you know and we love. You know what they're asking? Why? Why this loss? Why this diagnosis? Why this tragedy? Why this burden? Why is it happening to me? Why is it happening now? That's a hard question for me to answer. So I have to look at the Scriptures, right? If you've ever read the book of Job, I know I've referenced that a lot, but Job was a very depressed person. He went through every stressful thing that are at the top of the stress list for a man. He went through all of them. He got depressed. But if you've ever read that book, carefully, you're going to notice something that's very remarkable. In all of it, God never explained everything. In fact, He didn't say a whole lot until Job 38. And when He spoke to Job in Job 38, He didn't give Job a detailed explanation for all the suffering that he'd gone through. He just didn't do it. Instead, you know what He did? He reminded Job who he was. In essence, God said to Job, "Job, before you understand your suffering, I need you to remember who's holding your life." So maybe sometimes we're spending too much time asking why that we've forgotten to ask who. Who is still on the throne? Who still loves me? Who still keeps His promises? Who still defeated death? Who still walks with us through the valley? Who still prepares a home where sorrow will never enter again? Our hope has never been in having every answer. Our hope has always been in knowing the One who holds tomorrow. This world is not the end of our story. The funerals we've experienced are not the end of the story. The diagnosis is not the end of the story. The depression is not the end of the story. The grave is not the end of the story. Jesus Christ is writing the final chapter. And because He lives, there is hope. Real hope. Living hope. Be honest. Be open. Pursue progress. Purpose. Be eternally minded. As we come to the close, I want us to return to where we began. Yesterday, our nation celebrated freedom, and rightly so. I love this country. I am so thankful for those who've defended it. I'm so thankful for God that we live in a place where we can gather like this and talk and sing and preach and pray without fear. But as wonderful as political freedom is, it cannot free the human heart. America has given us freedom to worship, but only Jesus can give us freedom to belong to God. That's why I love the words that he said in John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. There are mornings in my life, personally, when the weight feels heavier than others. You know what I do? I still practice hope. Honest, open, pursue, be eternally minded. That may mean I still take my medicine. It means I still have to guard my thinking. Every day of my life, not only do I take my medicine, but in my prayers I say, God, please help me to be positive today. I still have to lean on my family. I don't know what I'd do without them, my physical family and my church family. But most of all, I still have to lean on Jesus. And let me tell you something I've learned. Depression may explain some of my journey, but it doesn't define my identity. Jesus Christ does. I'm not Terry. Oh, Terry the depressed preacher? No, that's not who I am. I'm Terry, a child of God. I'm Terry who's redeemed by the blood of Christ. I'm Terry who's loved by my Heavenly Father. I'm Terry who's empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm Terry who's the part of the body of Christ. I'm Terry who's headed towards heaven. That's who I am. And guess what? If you belong to Jesus, that's who you are also. Today I can't see your hidden chains, but I'm glad you're here. If there's anything you need to do, if you do not belong to Jesus, before you leave here today, you got to submit it all. You need to walk this aisle. You need to confess that He is the Son of God. You need to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Be added to this church. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you've got sin in your life that's kept you, that you've done that and it's kept you away, you need to repent of it. But if you've done all of that and you're still struggling, know you're not alone. No, I am here to speak out. I have a passion about making a difference. There are things that are going to be talked about, and I hope and pray that very soon we're going to break down any stigmas, any walls, any struggles. This is a place where you can come and you can say, I'm hurting. If you don't belong to something like that, today's the day. I love you, church. I appreciate you. Thank you for letting me share some of this passion. If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.